Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Pfizer First Quarter Results Analyst Teleconference. We have with us today Mr. Ejaz Tobakkowala, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Sridhar, Director, Finance and Distribution. As a reminder, for the duration of the conference, all participants' lines are in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on their touchtone telephone. At this time, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. S. Sridhar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the quarter one results review. Some of us in the results, I would just sum it up saying it's a mixed results. Why I say mixed? As we look into the results, I will explain in detail. Before that, let me just give you a brief overview of the industry. As we said, even in the last quarter, we just get a feeling that the industry is slowing down. IPM for May is around 10%. If you see a month-on-month growth, it is slacking down. We are nowhere near the IMS prognosis for current year 11.9. If you are 10% and you're going to go to 11.9, to really grow faster than this is going to be a challenge. So therefore, for whatever reasons, industry seems to slow down. And as a result, most companies are slowing down in some of the results there. More importantly, month-on-month, a lot of variations in the growth of various companies there. So it's really difficult to find a specific trend line to it. But overall, I think slowness is coming in there. More importantly, of Pfizer, you see our growth as per IMS is far lower. It's about 6.7% with industry of 10%. If you really analyze that growth there, if you look at Pfizer's strength, it's predominantly in respiratory and anti-infectives and vitamins. Significant portion of our, 25% of our revenue is in respiratory, 15% anti-infective, and roughly about, maybe about 15% in vitamins. So given that level of balancing, the growth of the industry in those segments are the lowest. For example, vitamins are slightly better, but we look at respiratory to 11% and anti-infective about 6%. So therefore, we are not present, Pfizer unfortunately not present in high growth areas like anti-diabetic or vaccines. So that impacts our industry overall. Forex continues to maintain its number two rank in the industry. It goes moving up and down, but as of today, it is still number
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Participants, we have the line connected back for the management. Mr. Sridhar, you may go ahead.
Apologies, team. We had a technical difficulty out here. Very sorry for that. I think I closed off by saying that Pfizer is not present in high-growth segments in vaccines or in anti-diabetic, and that in a way reflects by the lower overall industry growth. But within the segment, we are fairly doing well where we compete. Corex continues to maintain its number two rank here, and most of our key products have more or less maintained its market share, except Magnex. Magnex is fighting a difficult battle in the anti-infective hospital market, and that has seen a slight slowdown in the market share. And Amlogard, as for IMS, is reflecting a lower growth simply because it is coming under NLEM, and there's been slowdown in purchases of that product in the last few months there. And more importantly, one of the analysis we have been doing is as we are into branded generics, we've been analyzing branded generics. The number of new introductions per se have been coming down year on year. From a peak of about 2,400 launches in 2010, it's actually at around 1,700 in 2013. This could be a combination of various factors. One, people are learning what success is. Or secondly, given the regulatory environment, it has become difficult to launch more products in this process here. We have also analyzed our branded generics performance, the light of it, and we have taken a call to drop some of them, continue some of them, build on some of them. So those kind of calls we have taken, and you will see those happening starting from this quarter on to the balance of the year. Going on to the new pricing policy, as you all know, the pricing policy was announced in May with implementation coming up effective today, tomorrow. on various batches which has been announced. It has been fairly chaotic in the marketplace consequent to the announcement there. The policy is not very clear on various various issues. For example, when we had an earlier pricing policy, there was a clear pricing for a disposable tablet versus a non-disposable tablet. Currently, they come out of one single pricing. So question is, if disposable is not an NLEM and they come with one single pricing, are we covered with pricing or not covered with pricing? Second, there are capsules and there are tablets. If capsules is mentioned in the NLEM, tablets not mentioned, or vice versa, are they covered by NLEM? There are no right or wrong answers to these kind of questions there, and it's become more of who takes the first mover to take a chance on this. Second, more importantly, the issue of implementing the price at the marketplace is creating havoc for most companies. As you all know, given the fragmented market and distribution arrangement, it's very, very difficult to actually implement this in every retailer's shop across the country. At best, what we can do is request the dealers to send back the goods. We could do some kind of restickering and send it back. But the whole process of restickering is as complex as anybody else. It has not been easy to really, really put a sticker and fix and sell across. There were a lot of excise challenges. As of this morning, excise has come with a clarification that stickering for pricing is not manufacturing. So those are welcome gestures, but the whole process itself of stickering all products in the marketplace and leading to consequent litigation subsequently is going to be challenging in the near future. The stockist community has not liked it at all. The margins come down to about 8%, and retailers to about 16%. They just don't want that. Some of the associations have said, we don't want to purchase any items, as we don't get the margins in that range there. There are a lot of confusion in the marketplace, and hence a lot of primaries are getting impacted. As you all know, in the month of June, 3 weeks, there was no purchases in the state of Maharashtra. Till such time, Honorable Chief Minister came in and had a meeting with them and resolved some of the issues there. So I do see these kind of issues continuing in the next quarter as we start implementing the pricing policy. How it impacts us is questionable to wait and watch there. Coming to business highlights, like I said, one could look at it and say it's not a great result, whereas some back to look at it, there are silver linings within that. Before I get into the results, a few highlights. As you all know, we spoke last time about splitting our business into various teams. We finished that in April. From April, we run 3 BUs in Pfizer India. There are about 6 therapeutic teams supporting that. So we are all therapeutic focused. And the field force is also allocated for each therapy areas, which you feel will give us a lot of value as we move along. As we talk in the day-to-day activities, we're talking.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
This disturbance is coming again.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll join you back, sir.
Just one sec. I think we'll continue. I think there's something happening here. Is that better?
Yes, it's clear now.
Okay. So as I said, the most of conversations in the organization now is based on therapy areas, what therapy, how much you want to invest in each therapy, which are key therapies. So I hope that will really, really give us a big play as we move along there. Now moving on to business performance, really look at it. You will see 8% growth in the top line. That's predominantly because of some animal health sales we have in this quarter. If I actually remove those animal health sales out, our growth is actually zero. The pharmaceutical growth is only zero. But within the zero, there are 3 products which are impacted. Simply because we had a significant growth in the last quarter given the trade schemes. We also had a trade schemes in the previous year, same period. So therefore, Bicosyl would get impacted in this quarter here. Amlogard, which is coming under price control, there have been slowdown purchases of this product by the stockists and branded generics, which is not doing very well for us. Though it's growing, But versus our definition of success, it's not doing very well. If I knock off these three factors, rest of the portfolio has grown at 9 to 26%, which is not bad. My Corex has done well. My Jalusil has done really well. My Minifet has done really well. So you name the product, they all have done pretty well. Lyrica has done very well. Dodonex has done 12%. Dodonex was growing at 0% whole of last year. It's 12% growth here now. Magnex, despite the challenges, is at a 5% growth. So net of BVOs, Amlogard, and Vicosil, we have done reasonably well as far as our top line is concerned. If you really look at other operating income, you would see about 28 crores of income coming in the quarter, of which close to about 4 crores is account of income we receive from Animal Health Company. We continue to support them for some period of time, so that's the support that money is there. If I knock that off, it will still be a 12% growth. So a 0% top line, want to look at it, a 12% growth in other income. Our total expenses, you would see at 4% growth over the same period last year. If I remove the Animal Health cost of it in there, because we continue to manufacture and give it across to them, our expenses are minus 2%. Why is it minus 2%? We had a advertisement of Jellus in the same period last year. We have not gone on air this quarter. We are reviewing our commercials. We didn't go on this year. So therefore, that gave us a saving. It's more of a phasing kind of a thing there. So net-net, if I look at the PBT before exceptional items, we would have grown without Animal Health, we would have still grown at 26%. So that's my P&L for the quarter. I'm sure you'll have a lot of questions. We'll spend a lot of time on the question answer, and be free to take on chat, and I will take on any questions as you shoot on.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We have the first question from the line of Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking the question. Sir, my question relates to VRS amount of 89 million during the quarter. The same amount was for 44 million for the full year last year, FY13. So how many people have accepted VRS during the quarter, and whether this is going to continue in the second quarter onwards?
Okay. As we told you in the last quarter, as we restructured our team structures, we actually recasted our focus going forward based on therapeutic area. And what we really did was sized the opportunity, looked at a portfolio, looked at the profitability, and determined what level of resources are really required to make success in that portfolio there. So based on that criteria, what we consciously did was we did not fill vacancies for about 6 months prior to that. I mean, we knew we were working on it, and therefore, if any vacancies was falling due, we consciously did not fill it in, because rather than filling it in and then going through the exercise, as you work through the exercise there. So therefore, the real impact is not so very high. Yes, unfortunately, we had to ask some, there are some people who did leave the organization, and that's what you see it there. I think we're done and with, as far as in the last quarter was concerned. We actually were done and with the fag end of March, but the payment happened in the April, and hence we had to account only in April. Otherwise, in the March quarter itself, most decision had been done on with.
And sir, can you elaborate how many people have taken this VRS, or how many people were...
I wouldn't want to give the specificities of this, Ranjit.
Yeah. Whether this will continue in further or this end to it?
So like I said, we have recasted our teams. We have recasted our numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that at this juncture, we are fine and happy as of now.
Okay. So I you don't feel that it is going to continue for a few more quarters?
No. Whatever cost incurred is all incurred as of now.
But VRS will not continue in the future quarters.
All people who opted for VRS have been accepted and have been already accrued in this quarter.
Okay.
We don't have any more pending.
Okay. And sir, this question regarding the NPPP, which of the products which will witness the maximum price fall? And if you can...
Basically, it's one two product you can say. I mean, one is Amlogard. Actually, one product, Amlogard.
Amlogard.
Which is the biggest product which is hitting us.
Okay.
There is clodamycin, there is pitocin, there is Dilantin, there is Trulimax.
And this Amlogard, what will be the hit approximately?
Our estimate is currently around 6 to 10 crores.
6 to 10 crores.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether Bicuzul will be out of price control?
I think we will discuss over drink, Ranjit, because it's a $1 billion question as of now. I'm not answering that question. And let's wait and watch.
And sir, Solumedrol? Solumedrol?
Solumedrol is not a Pfizer limited product.
Okay. We are just distributing it.
Yes.
Okay. So it will be taken, the hit will be taken by the 100% subsidiary.
I presume so.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the very best.
Thanks, Ranjit. Thanks, yeah.
Thank you. Participants, anyone who has a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have the next follow-up question again from the line of Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking.
A question relates to cash. We have a cash of about 480 rupees per share. What are the plans to utilize this cash?
Hi, Ranjit. This is Jaz.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Good, sir.
Ranjit, I think we mentioned this the last time. I think we're continuing to look for options and opportunities on what would be the best way to utilize this.
Hmm.
I think as you saw in the last quarter, we actually did a special dividend associated with our sale of animal health, and I think we'll continue to look and see what would be the best way to do it. I think with the market conditions being what they are, I think we'll just continue to examine it. I don't have a very definitive answer for you at this stage.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you very much, Ranjit.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashwini Desai from Bajaj Alliance Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir.
Hey, Ashwini.
Yeah. Sir, I had two questions. One is, how much is branded generic as a percentage of sales now?
So, branded generics for the quarter is about 10 crores. Okay. Of the total pharma of about 218 crores. Okay.
Okay. And how much was it last year? And
Last year was similar, about 11 odd crores.
Okay, so 10 crores for out of 280 crores.
18 crores. Yeah.
Okay. And what are the plans there? How big you want to want the segment to be?
Well, like I said, we are recasting our aspirations on branded generics.
Mm-hmm.
I said that there. With aspirations being, we want to be big. Let's be very clear about it. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
if you really look at the market today, mm-hmm. it's the new introductions which drive the market.
Mm-hmm.
And what are new introductions? These are regular molecules. There's nothing which is scientific about it. Okay. However, we as Pfizer, we feel two things. One, rather than having gone ourselves spread wide into multiple therapeutic areas, we probably want to focus on few strength therapeutic areas.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the BVOs which are launched in the earlier part of new launches have done really, really well, doing really, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have done a learning, got into a room, got together, huddled, analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have done some mistakes. We are learning from the mistakes there. So you will see some of the changes happening as we move along in the outer quarters.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be fewer focused launches of BVOs, focused promotion of the existing BVOs. What BVOs doesn't help us, we're going to drop it off.
Okay. And so in terms of new launches, how many new launches did you do last year and say a year before?
So last year, I think we launched about 20-odd products. A year before that, we launched about 12 to 13-odd products. But these are all branded generics again.
Okay. Both, all means are 20 and 12, everything
yeah.
is branded generics.
It's approximate. I'm just giving offhand.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Sir, and on this last question I had on this pricing policy, I mean, the policy has been discussed for some time. So now that the prices for most of the products are, I think, all products are out, the kind of decline which was expected, I mean, are we seeing a similar decline in the prices are being announced, or is it lower than what the industry had expected when the policy was announced?
Okay, let me answer Pfizer first.
Okay.
Then I'll try to see what industry is. Pfizer, touch wood, we have been in line with what we wanted. I mean, that's what we expected. We're getting it, okay? We are not, and like you said, we have only a few products which are the price control. That should again there. And we are not seeing any surprises as we are concerned, okay? I've had newspaper articles for the industry, which has surprised, the pricing has surprised quite a few of them. Because NPP has changed its method of calculation, wherein they have said it's just not brands above one person, but any company having more than one brand, and even if this other brands are less than one person, they've taken company as a whole. So that has resulted in NPP issuing some lower prices than anticipated. Okay, that I have picked up, okay. Second thing what I picked up is, like I said in the earlier policy, they've announced price for a single product SKU, but that comes in multiple forms. It could be dispersible, it could be SR, it could be regular, but they give just one price. So we're unclear whether that price is applicable to the whole group or only to specific to that thing there, because earlier DPCU had two prices for two categories. So we're finding those kind of challenges coming in there, and we're resolving it as we move along. That's where it is.
Okay. And the policy is going to be applicable within 45 days of notification of prices. So
it is applicable on the 46th day post-notification of price. So you've got 45 days to clear the inventory. Another 46th day will be applicable.
Okay, there's still some time then.
No. So 47, for some of the first batch, 45 days expire today.
Okay. Okay, so till this issue gets sorted out, say another quarter, we'll see the growth or sales being a bit lower.
Like I said, even this quarter, even without NLDM, we have seen an impact. Stockists are not purchasing it because they don't know which brands to get covered. They have challenges with margins. So even with next quarter, even if pricing comes into play, I presume that stockists will still be nervous the next quarter. Okay, even without pricing. So pricing is just going to make it a little worse, that's all. The pricing will get factored in, but other than pricing will not get factored in, and therefore that's a variable we have to wait and watch.
Okay. And this issue that you said it was there in the state of Maharashtra, was it a similar issue? I mean, what was the issue that the stockists didn't buy for 3 weeks, and has it been sorted out completely?
It has been sorted out. That's what I've been told. I mean, the government has intervened and tried to look at the grievances. There were multiple grievances. One was on the margin on the pricing. Second, I think they had some issue on you know, some orders which came from the Competition Commission of India, said that you need to, you know, anybody can be a stockist. They have drug license, and there were some issues around requirement of pharmacists, etc. There were multiple issues they had. So just not one.
Okay. So this is only concerning Maharashtra, because this NLAM and all this margin-related issue, I think people, stockists, chemists in other states also should have similar issues.
Everyone has issues. Maharashtra got compounded because they went on a complete non-purchasing. So it got compounded.
Okay, sir. I think that's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Deepak Malik from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Hey, Deepak.
My question is regarding the new product introductions. So in the last 2 years, we have launched 12 and 20 new products in the branded generics.
Yeah.
So, but if we see the revenue coming from the branded generics is not growing at all. So it's almost constant kind of. So going forward, what is our strategy for the new product launches? Don't we think so that we should launch in our key strength areas and instead of going into the branded generics?
Deepak, this is Jazz. Let me try and take that. Absolutely, to give you a short answer to that. But if you look at the 32 and you say it hasn't grown, if you were to actually parse it out, what you'll see is some products actually doing really well versus others are actually petering off.
So you're seeing actually a little bit of a blend in terms of what is growing and what is not growing. So to go back to what Sridhar said earlier, our goal certainly is to continue to introduce new products, but what we are certainly going to try to do is through our learning, is try and figure out exactly where it is that we should be launching, rather and in essence be a lot more selective, right, as to where we will launch and what products we will launch.
So currently, what is our thinking in terms of new product launches? So which are the areas or we are thinking or bringing the in our parents' product here in India? So how we should look at it?
Yeah, I think our areas, right, obviously are in the vitamin space, they're in the pain space, they're in the CNS space, right? Certainly in ones that might be adjacent to the Gelosil space. So every place that we've got, you know, either a core brand that is, that has a high recognition or a high value, or it's a therapeutic area where we have a reasonable presence, right, and our portfolio would benefit from additional products, that's where we would be looking at them.
But will it be branded generics or will it be our innovative products which we have in the Pfizer?
I think what we were talking about over here were the branded generic side of it, certainly, right? The patented side, those are decisions we make as and when those products become available.
So is it true that the patented products will be in the Pfizer 100% subsidiary and the branded generics will come only through this company?
That's not true. I think we make those decisions as we look at what our therapeutic areas are and which are present in which company.
Yeah, for example, Champix is launched in Pfizer. There's a product called Lyrica. Lyrica globally is patented. India, the patent is not there. We still have launched Lyrica out here. Okay. Wherever possible, we've gone ahead and launched it. There has been no real major pipelines in the system. As a Lipitor, and Lipitor, we have launched in India at all. There's no opportunity for us to do it, yes. And Pfizer does not have expertise in every single area of therapeutic dominance. And wherever dominance we have, obviously we'll see whether how best leverage that.
Okay. How many new products we have launched in the first quarter, sir?
Nothing.
And how many we plan to launch in the current year?
Going back to Jazz's question, we are just revisiting what we want to do. If some of them are fairly advanced and we think it fills into a filter of therapeutic dominance, we will do it. Currently, I don't have an answer to that, but we'll have to revisit it. If it doesn't come in, it doesn't come in.
Okay. And my second question, sir, regarding is that if we see the other operating income is around 29 crores, and if we see our other income is around 30 crores, so almost like 59 crores is coming from other income and other operating income. And if we see our PBT is around 73 crores, so almost like 15 crores is coming from the business the rest is all coming from other operating income and other income. So it's like 15 crores is coming on the pharmaceutical sale of around 220 crores kind of. So we are working on almost like 8-9% kind of margin in these the current products. So is it correct? Is it the right way of looking at it?
It's not the right way to look at it. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like I said, that's what I read out to you. If my mix has not been very good, for example, other than Amlogard, branded generics, and the Bicosils, I've grown at 9 to 26%. So I've got a good range there. Okay. So unfortunately, I've got a huge Bicosils, which is down. My Amlogard is down, which is highly profitable for me, and branded generics is down. So combination of these three factors have actually made my growth zero and not impacted, and are therefore gross margin also been there. Otherwise, we have a reasonable gross margin products there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, anyone who has a question, you may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Hardik Kalario from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. This is Rajat Padiraja from Banyan Capital. My question is related to 19.3 crore of revenue that you have booked for supporting transition of animal healthcare. So how long it will take the transition to be completed and these revenues to be booked?
I think it should continue next two more quarters. on the thing. They're trying to set up their own arrangement, etc. These are happening basically because as we transition, some of these products require drug licenses, etc., manufacturing licenses. We're manufacturing in our own tooling facility. And for Astra and when they set their licenses up, this is a transition. It's probably another two more quarters.
And is there any cost associated with the 19.3 crore of sales that will also go away?
Yes, there is a cost sitting in the material cost there. Like I said to you, if you see my current material cost, which is roughly about roughly around 36.6%. If I take away my my material cost for animal health, it'll go back to 32.8, which is in line with the same period last year.
Okay. And you have stopped giving the segmental information because animal healthcare is not longer with you. Now, if I look at the previous quarter numbers, you had three divisions: pharmaceuticals, animal healthcare, and others. So others, which was contributing 44 crore in last quarter, I want to understand what are these services, because it seems like you have good margins on these.
So last year we had published it that way, therefore for sake of comparison we've given it, but there's no real other segment here because others is basically, it's all part of pharmaceutical business, rendering services to either animal health or something. So that's when you combine it to a single segment as of now. There are no other segments.
Okay. And the margins remain the same all across your pharmaceuticals blended?
When you say margins means? I'm sorry?
Your gross margin is basically on other segments, which I can see in terms of segmental information, it is 22.8%.
Yeah, you are right.
Okay. And in your initial commentary, you have said you have decided to drop, include some of the generics, so there is a strategy going on.
Yeah.
Can you please elaborate on that?
Like we said, I just gave an introduction that it's very, very, very competitive market, and the success rate of any new introduction in the market is just about 12%, okay? Only 12% of brands launched generally are successful. Now, we are no different when we launch a brand of generics. Yes, we knew all of our products will not be successful, but we wanted to give it about 3 years of time to really reassess what we have launched to see how long it takes. So once we review it, we feel that some of the products will find it difficult to penetrate the difficult market. Some products will really, really do well. And maybe there are some potential for some products to be launched in the very strong therapeutic area. So we have done that analysis. Based on it, areas where we find it doesn't make sense, we'll drop it. And where we think will make sense, we'll continue focusing on it. So it'll be more of selective focus rather than a dispersive focus.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
A lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chirag Dugli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Hey, Chirag.
Hi. Sir, I had a question on this restructuring bid that our parent has undertaken. This has been in the news last couple of days. How does this impact Pfizer India, Wyeth India, and the other businesses? And do we have a handle on, how our various pieces will actually fit into this overall strategy, and what should minority investors expect over the next, say, couple of years as far as this split is concerned?
Sure, this is Jazza. Let me take that. I think what the parent company has, in essence, announced is it's an internal restructuring, and how they're going to be sort of showing the revenues of the global company across two innovative divisions and what they're calling the value division. It literally is at that level at this stage. We haven't even sorted out completely what the implications are going to be at the regional level, much less at any country level. So I think that's still very much a work in progress at this stage.
So, but it suffices to say that some of our products will actually, so for us, our business will actually fall into each of these buckets, and then probably at a global level we will have three different people to report to. Would that be a correct assessment?
I don't think they've come to that conclusion, and neither have I at this stage, as to how we're going to get structured at the country level. I think our first step on it would be to figure out the regional structure, and then we'll come down to the local structure. But if you take the announcement, Chirag, at absolute face value, there's two parts to it, right? One is that says that the company will be looked at across these three divisions, and these three divisions will have leaders. But they've also said that they will have country managers associated with the country that will have, in essence, fiduciary responsibilities for the country. So somewhere between those two, right, is we'll figure out what the structure in India is going to be.
So does this in any way impact the kind of parents' pipeline that could have otherwise come to Pfizer India?
Yeah.
So, for example, if there is a product which would have in the erstwhile, structure possibly come to Pfizer India, would that be impacted by this structure?
No. I don't think the structure has anything to do with the decision we would make whether to launch, not launch, or where to launch a product. I don't think that would have an impact at all.
Okay. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Ashwini Desai from Bajaj Alliance Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a few more questions. One on your EBITDA margin, if I see compared June quarter last year, if I compare to June quarter this year, it has gone up significantly. And I believe last year June quarter was a bit weak. Why was it?
So basically because my expenses for the quarter, like I said, some advertisement which was on air the same period last year,
mm-hmm.
we did not go on air this time. And
mm-hmm.
secondly, we had some one-off expenses last year,
okay.
Like some brokerage, etc., we paid, which is not there. And secondly, we did have some contract field force last year, which is no longer there this year. So consequent to all this, and plus my total employee base is slightly reduced. So that
okay.
has reduced, that has improved.
Okay. So can I expect like the margin that we earned in this quarter is kind of unsustainable?
No, I wouldn't say that because like a Jalusil adjustment, which was there, about 5 to 7 crores of rupees,
mm-hmm.
doesn't come back any point of time. So that's one off here. So there could be a slight increase in expenses, but it's not going to be as high as what it was, say, period last year.
Okay, because in first quarter we saw approximately 13%,
yeah.
second quarter we saw 23%,
yeah.
and now we are at 17%.
It'll be slightly higher than 17.
Uh-huh.
But much lower than what it was same period last year.
Okay. And so my second question is, how many unlisted subsidiaries you have and what are the kind of products that we launch in them?
We wouldn't want to comment on this in this call, please. It's not in this call.
Okay. And my last question, which was the last product from the parent portfolio, the patented drugs that you launched in the Indian subsidiaries?
Champix.
Sorry?
Champix.
Okay, and when was this?
2006-7.
Okay, after that we have not seen launches from the...
There has been no patented in the Pfizer system. It's a Lipitor was there, but Lipitor we didn't launch here.
Okay. So last 4-5 years, the product that we have launched is only branded generics?
Either branded generics or products which we didn't take patent for. For example, Lyrica,
mm-hmm.
we launched in India,
mm-hmm.
For which there is no patent. We have gone ahead and launched it.
Okay.
There is Viagra, which we launched in India, for
mm-hmm.
which there is no patent in India. Still, we launched it there.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever products have been available, we have launched it.
Okay. So they're not for the patented portfolio, but from the parent portfolio as such.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
They are patented elsewhere in the world, but not in India.
Okay. So from parent portfolio, last 2 years, we haven't seen any launches.
There's nothing available to be launched, actually. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashwin.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question from the participants. So before we conclude, would you like to add any closing remarks?
Yeah, Jazz.
No, I'd like to thank all of you for dialing in. We appreciate your continued interest in the company. And hopefully, where we started the conversation the last quarter into this quarter in terms of sort of our focus and approach, we hope that we'll continue to be able to provide you guys with the insight as to how we're looking at the company and how we're looking at opportunities for us. So thank you once again for attending, and we'll catch you next quarter. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. Participants, on behalf of Pfizer, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.